another spooky season. Yay!
It's good to be back and right in time for my favorite holiday ever. So I am so excited to be getting back into it and to be doing Halloween movies.
Yeah, we already have our lineup of what we are doing for the next few episodes, and we're definitely feeling refreshed, back and ready to go for these next couple episodes that we have, and then that's a wrap for season three.
I can't believe we are already, like, coming to the end of season three. I can't believe we're here.
Right? I know.
It's so wild. So wild.
I know, because technically it works out, and I think if we continue this momentum for season four, and oh, spoiler alert, yeah, we're coming back for season four, because this is our show, we do it, there's no one else that we rely on, as we say almost every single episode, and
we have so many movies and TV shows that we want to talk about still, so be looking forward to a lot more of us.
Oh, 100%. It just gives us some time to get refreshed and come back with some fresh new content at the same time. Well, getting started with the first spooky episode, we wanted to do something that was family friendly, true to 90s kids' hearts, because when they originally first mentioned that there was a possibility for this movie to come out, everyone in the grapevine was super excited, including myself.
I was stoked. I could not wait. So we are today going to be talking about Hocus Pocus 2. I am so excited. For one thing, just hearing the announcement for this movie coming out, I was so excited to get to see a sequel with the witches again. The witches are back. I was so excited. And then just all of the promotional stuff that they did leading up to the movie was a lot of fun too.
Yes.
I have no shame in admitting that I am a bit of a Disney adult, and I love a lot of Disney stuff, and some of the videos of I think it was Minnie Mouse,
Daisy,
and I can't remember the other one's
name. I think her name is Clara, I want to say.
The cow?
I'm not sure what her name is.
Yeah, I can't remember what her name is, but they, all three of them, are the witches from Hocus Pocus, and I just absolutely loved it. They absolutely killed it, and it was so much fun and so exciting leading up to the movie.
There was so much promotion for this film, not even just the Hocus Pocus 2 promotion, but there was promotions all over with specific stores that carry Halloween items. We saw, obviously, Spirits Halloween. I don't know about Party City, but Spirits had every single one of the Sanderson sisters costumes. And then in Home Depot, they had the Sanderson sisters blow up.
That, oh my God, really?
Cool. Yeah.
That is insane.
Like, Home Depot's been really showing up for their seasonal decor, I will say.
That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome.
It was really cool to see it.
I think last year I saw they had like a Beetlejuice worm or something.
I believe it.
Yeah, it was super cool.
I believe it.
But getting into it, getting into the movie, I love the direction that they decided to take this movie. Oh, by the way.
Spoilers ahead! Spoilers ahead!
We are going to be talking about this movie, so obviously. So go watch it if you haven't already, and then come back. And if you've seen it already, get ready. We're talking about it.
Yep. Because the witches are back.
The witches are back. So I really like how this movie opened up and the direction they decided to take it, where they actually showed us the actual backstory for the Sanderson sisters.
I agree, because we honestly did not get any backstory in the first film at all. We were just introduced to them right away. And I loved that they spent that much time really developing their younger selves and essentially, obviously, bringing it back around to who they are now and how they got their powers and introduced to the book. And it was pretty cool to see the videos that went around on TikTok where people that lived in Salem and were saying, oh my goodness, they're filming, and to actually see the behind the scenes filming that was going on from fans and what actually came to be was really super cool to see it full force.
Oh, for sure. And also props to the three actresses who played the younger version of the Sanderson sisters. They absolutely killed their roles. They were just so entertaining to watch.
They were. I will say that they definitely looked like their counterparts, and the makeup, the costumes, everything was well done. My one thing that I will say, and given, of course, it's Disney, this film is very out there and done up, but I will say the younger Winnie that they showed us, the youngest Winifred, it was, the mannerisms were spot on, but it was too adult-like for a 16-year-old, in my opinion. It was. They were spot on, so good job to that actress, but it was a little too over-the-top adult-esque for me.
I can see that, but I guess it just felt right for me because they really didn't have an adult parent figure there to kind of be that for them. So I could see where Winifred being, I guess, the eldest sister or at least the leader of their little trio. I could see where she might act a little bit more adult, even if it is just a front, just to keep her and her sister safe from the world. But
I will also say the funniest thing that I never put two and two together until this film, which is really crazy to think about too, is that the sisters' names, okay, we have Winifred, Mary, and Sarah. And funny, Sarah is played by Sarah Jessica Parker. So easy enough to say Sarah, huh? So there's no confusion there.
Yeah, no.
I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. That's nice.
But it was nice to finally also not only on the Sanderson sisters to get some background about them, also Billy's character. We also were introduced to Billy, which we didn't know anything about him in the first movie, and it was so cool to finally see an alive Billy that's not a zombie.
Yes, and see the actual backstory play out, which is nothing like what we have been led to believe since the first film.
Oh, yeah. And there were so many things about this film that were just so iconic to the first film, such as I love the little part where they're searching for the dad, and it's funny because they show up on that one, I don't know if they were a couple or friends, but they were watching the first Hocus Pocus film. Did you catch that?
Yes, I did catch that. That was so cute. I loved that.
That's just what is so reminiscent about this film, that it still just felt so true and essence to the first film, that they didn't shy away from the jokes. I will say that they did shy away from one particular joke that was overplayed in the first film.
Yeah, and honestly, it was appreciated, not to make that the main focus. And I do like how they also weren't like, they didn't want to lean too heavily into that joke, obviously, but they also were willing at the front of the movie to be like, yep, we made that mistake, okay, now let's move on. And and I liked that about it. So, and I love how they did the modern, when we went forward from seeing the Winifreds, when they started showing us the more modern world. When we finally got to see that, I love the direction that they decided to take this, where somebody has actually taken over the home and is like actually trying to renovate it, like almost like a museum, even if they have, I don't want to say ill intent, but
It is what it is.
And yeah.
To be fair, though, the first movie, their house was a museum at one point, but they closed it down, if I remember correctly. And it was cool to see them reopen it and reuse it again. But mm-hmm. this time, the shop owner, Gilbert, who was in it, is a fan from so many years ago. And I love that they address how many years it's been. And Billy says, whoa, has it been that long?
Yeah, I know. That was so ridiculous.
The one cool thing, I don't know if you caught who that was, though. The witch in the beginning of the film, where the Sanderson sisters are introduced to the witch that gives them the book. Mm-hmm. That was Hannah Waddingham, who is the shame, shame, shame.
Oh my God, Game of Thrones. Are you? That is so wild.
Yeah.
She needs to come back and do that again, because they tried to use the spell that she said not to use.
Yep. Yeah. And just, I love how there are so many real cities and towns that actually do celebrate Halloween to that extent. Mm-hmm. And that is something I would love to experience one of these days, is getting to actually go to a town that takes Halloween very serious.
Yes, I would absolutely love that. I know we don't do enough Halloween stuff where I'm from. There is a haunted house basically in my backyard. And I would like to experience just a real Halloween where in a place where they actually do take it seriously, like the town of Salem from this movie.
And I loved how there was so much girl power in this film, where yes. it wasn't just about the Sanderson sisters, but it was also about Becca and her friends, who have been friends for so many years. And it shows the real life that happens, where friends unfortunately go in separate directions because of life happens. But I loved that they all came back together at the end, where, jumping ahead to the end of the film, that essentially they left it open for a third movie, potentially, because Becca has powers, we found out.
I absolutely love that they decided to take it this direction as well, because I love that, for one thing, they wanted to be like, well, you can be a witch and not necessarily be the Sanderson sisters. You can be right. a light witch or a good witch. And I love that they did that. So I love that our essentially main character is herself a magic user. So I can't wait yeah. to see how that plays out in possibly a future film. And also, I love how we did manage to get in a cat in this film.
Yes, yes. I loved that they brought the cat back. And whether it was the same cat or not, who knows? Probably not, because we know how the first yeah. movie ends up, but maybe it's another cat that they've bewitched at some point.
Oh no! Oh no!
There's just so many things that was done so well about this film, especially a lot of the inclusivity that they added, mm-hmm. especially that scene where they're on stage and they're doing the Sanderson sisters costume contest. And I loved that they included three drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race.
That was absolutely awesome. I loved that.
I was yes. shocked, because I said, wait a second, is that Ginger Minj? And then I had to go look at the cast and I said, no way, that was Ginger Minj, Cornbread, and Kimora. I could not get over it. And I was so stoked to see that they included drag queens.
That was awesome. I loved the costume contest. I loved the fact that they really thought they had like left this impression on yeah. on the town. And it was just absolutely wonderful. It was so great.
Especially, there's just so many comedic aspects too, such as, I would totally be the dad, where I am a sweets connoisseur. I love sweets.
Yes, you are.
And I can completely empathize with the dad of waiting in line to get your caramel apple, having to leave because your child's throwing a party at the house when they shouldn't, and then not getting a caramel apple because they're sold out.
Well, what was crazier is he got in and he did manage to get one. Yeah. And then, like, the crowd, for whatever reason, was still under the spell from the Sanderson sisters, and then they stole his caramel apple. Somebody just took it right out of his hand. And, I absolutely love that he was in this movie, too.
Tony Hale, yeah, he is pretty funny, and I've seen him in a lot of different things, but it was really cool getting to see him in this film, for sure.
I loved how awkward he was with the kids, yeah.
And I think another thing, too, to mention is I want to know what kind of Walgreens they have, because at the Walgreens that are near me, they do not sell shark vacuums, Roombas, for that matter.
It was like a Walmart in there or something. I was thinking the same thing watching it. I was like, what kind of Walgreens is this? Because mine is basically a teeny little drugstore. It's just a pharmacy and toiletries and soda, and that's it.
I've seen them where they have had a actual skincare counter. It's specific ones more so in California, speaking of in particular. But yeah, not the fact that you can find a Swifter wet jet in some shark Roomba vacuums.
I loved the Roomba vacuum, though. That was hilarious.
I loved that they gave it a modern day twist in that sense, because there's not, if you can't find brooms, you got to use the next most modern day esque thing, Roombas.
And she got a hoverboard. That was super cool.
And that was just so cool that I love that's what they added, because that's what was really missing in the first one, is they didn't focus too much on the modern day aspect of things. They did with, I would say, the bus, when the Sanderson sisters got on the bus that one time, but they didn't heavily do it as much as they did in this film, for sure.
They very much kind of leaned into it at the beginning, but then after a while we're just like, whatever, they're in the modern day, and just kind of let it go. So I agree that it was a lot more fun watching them kind of be befuddled and get the wrong idea and the wrong impression about the world around them. So I agree wholeheartedly.
And there was a lot of also, there were some soft moments too, especially at the end where the girls are finally having that moment where they're coming together, and Becca is having the conversation with Cassie and saying, well, you left to go hang out with your new friends and your boyfriend, and they had a real talk with Mike and said, hey, Mike, the things you're saying aren't exactly comedic. They're more mean.
I did really like that. I also kind of appreciated how absolutely just ignorant he was to the fact that he was even being mean. He was just like, I just thought I was making a statement. Like, I just thought I was pointing out just a thing, not... It's just so funny to me that that's what he would think. And I really appreciated his reaction to finding out he was kind of being an a-hole.
Versus, really going on the aspect where a lot of those 90s movies and early 2000s, they really focused on the bully aspect. And I loved how, exactly as you said, it came to, really? I had no idea. I'm so sorry. And he felt so much remorse.
I did appreciate that. So that was kind of funny and also appreciated. But yeah, I totally agree. And I love that they had that talk too, and that they both kind of had to come to a realization of it wasn't just the fact that she left and didn't hang out with them anymore for wanting to hang out with her boyfriend or her other friends, but also the fact that it was never communicated to her that there was a problem to begin with, that they had an issue with the things that her new friends were saying to them.
That is just, unfortunately, so all too common with people, where we speculate things and we never take the time to actually communicate with one another how we're feeling or if we misconstrued something. And that was something that was really cool that they really focused on at the end. And obviously it left where they were stronger because of it at the end, where they were able to, in an interesting way, defeat the Sanderson sisters.
Yes, by girl witching.
I want to say too, I wouldn't be mad if they revamped the song I Put a Spell on You.
I was really bummed not to hear that.
Or if they got the copyrights to doing the song The Boys Are Back in Town, but literally did it where the witches are back in town.
Yeah. That would have been great. I did love their little musical number right when they came back after the candle was burned. I thought that was absolutely great. And then,
who are they singing to? You.
Yeah, I absolutely loved the quick little jump scare. And most of the time I don't like jump scares, but I did appreciate that one because I thought it was a wonderful transition from a goofy song to Scary Witch. But it would have been a lot. I was kind of waiting the whole movie, and maybe I just like fan service, who knows, but I was waiting the whole movie to hear some kind of remastered, redone version of I Put a Spell on You, or something, or even just a modern song redone to fit the Sanders sisters. So I was a little disappointed in that, but other than that, I thought it was absolutely great to see them come back with that one musical number at the beginning.
Oh yeah, definitely. And then just when they do put a spell on the townspeople, that song, it was really interesting because, again, I would have loved if they just brought it full circle back to the first film, which there was a lot of things that they added from the first film to make the second film continue, which was really cool, especially with Gilbert's character, where he was very young at the time trick-or-treating and saw them and said at some point, I want to meet these ladies, and it didn't turn out the way he expected.
And that's why I didn't want to say it was ill intent at the beginning, because he didn't really mean to do what he did. It was more just a innocent childhood curiosity. He essentially found a unicorn as a child and then chased after it ever since. And he didn't really realize that from where he was sitting, where he was viewing these fantastical witches, he didn't really see the harm that they were doing. And so he, of course, wanted to bring them back. Oh. I can understand where thinking, seeing them from a child's perspective and then knowing that about them, going, yeah, bringing back witches wouldn't be a bad thing. It would totally be a justice for what happened to them.
That'd be similar to in the sense of reading about somebody such as Cleopatra and wanting to bring her back of all we know. And then maybe she comes back and she wants to rule the world. I don't know. So,
yeah. Global conquest.
Yes. I could totally see that. Honestly, he had no ill intentions on it. And yes, obviously he wanted to use Billy to keep himself alive. But at the same time, he did not want anything to happen to the girls. That was the last thing he wanted.
No.
And hence why he was stalling so much at the same time.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
But the one thing in really particular, too, that it really made Winifred human was that end where she wasn't paying attention to what the warning label says. Of course, nobody ever reads the warning label, to be fair. If we took the time to seriously read the disclaimers on...
I feel like, though, if my disclaimer is literally shutting down the thing that I'm trying to do and basically screaming at me, no, don't do the thing. Just do not hit agree. Go home. Don't do this. I might read the disclaimer then.
But the fact that not reading this disclaimer and we finally figure out what happens if she does become all powerful and consume all this power, it's a big price to pay to become powerful. You lose your sisters in it. And it made her so human. That was really a great side to see because she is so wicked in the funniest sense too. But to see just that humanness come out of her of, I don't want to lose my sisters. they mean everything to me, and really just gave her that time of, wow, we really feel for her.
The best villains and the most interesting villains are really the ones that their evil deeds come from a place of goodwill, essentially. Because at the end of the day, she does want to, she is wicked and she is a being of chaos and will bring that chaos wherever she does roam. But at the same time, a lot of what she does is to protect her sisters and protect mm-hmm. them from the world that never understood them and never wanted to even try to. Right. And that's relatable. We all want to protect mm-hmm. the people that we love. And so to see that side of her and also know that she's still wicked makes her much more interesting and even more lovable of a villain to get to despise a little.
I would probably say the same thing if that happened to you. Not Rachel, no. Well, I think we've covered almost everything. I don't know what else we could cover in this episode other than our ratings.
Honestly, this was a very straightforward revisit for the Sanders sisters and for Salem. So it was fun. So let's get into it. What were the reviews or the critic reviews and the audience reviews?
Well, before that, I don't think we've never discussed who our favorite Sanderson sister was.
Okay, so Sarah is absolutely 100% my favorite. She is just so, I love how ditzy she is. I love how just, she's just there to have a good time, and she is just high energy all the time. I find her so relatable. If I want, you know, I love to cosplay. I've considered cosplaying the Sanders sisters before, and she is the first one I would want to do.
Same. I think Sarah by far is probably my favorite as well for every single reason you just stated. And she is just so lively, such a fun character, and yeah, ditto everything that you said. But getting into the ratings, what are your thoughts on what you think the ratings are through the Rotten Tomatoes website?
So I'm going to say that I think the critics probably didn't like this too much. I don't want to say like they gave it like a incredibly low rating, but I'm gonna say they gave it like around like a, like maybe a 75 at highest, maybe closer to 60. But I'm gonna say that the audience was a little bit kinder to it. I'm still gonna say that the audience probably wasn't like, oh my god, this was the best remake ever. I'm going to say that the audience might have been closer to like maybe like 80.
All right. Rotten Tomatoes website says the tomato reader, the critics, gave it a 62%. That is a tomato. And then the audience gave it a 53%.
Okay, so I was entirely wrong about the audience, but I pretty much was spot on with the critics. I knew they were not going to like it. They never like remakes. They always hate remakes. It doesn't even matter if the remake is good. They will hate it.
Well, it was flipped this time around.
I am actually kind of shocked. I mean, I'm not too shocked. I did see like a little bit of discourse after the movie came out of people complaining. Same. But I see that for everything nowadays. So I never take it to mean that the audience actually hated it.
And to be fair, you can't please everybody. But I went back and listened to our episode from last time we did Hocus Pocus 1, and we both gave this film a medium-sized bag. So with that, what is your bag rating this film?
I actually would say that it's probably the same size. I don't think that this movie did anything new or special, obviously. It was very much just another Hocus Pocus film. That being said, I don't think that takes anything away from it. I don't like I you hear complaints all the time, like, oh, this movie didn't do anything special, it's just another comedy, or it's just another this film or that film or blah blah blah. So what? Like, it was still entertaining, it was a new take on it, and and sometimes if a formula works, just stick with it sometimes, and that there's nothing wrong with that. So I thought it was a fun movie. It was a fun Halloween film. I will probably revisit it again next year for Halloween when the season comes back up. So I would give it a medium bag. Again, like, not like the best movie I've ever seen, but fun for sure.
I would have to agree. I am also giving it a medium with some salt and butter on top, just because, yeah, I'm staying true similar to last rating as well, because it was a very fun movie. It had everything and more, the laughs, the feels, everything, but it is as campy as can be, mm-hmm. as the last film, which makes it so true into itself. It will be a cult classic because it's going to follow the first film, which is a cult classic. And I think anybody who really loved the first movie, which again, I absolutely loved the first movie, you loved it, but I'm giving it a medium bag just because it was not something that was above and beyond.
Yeah, I love plenty of medium bag movies, but that's all they are, medium bags.
A medium is fair. I think it is a very fair rating, in my opinion.
I agree. But again, it was a lot of fun. I love Halloween. Look at all these bats. Look at all these witches. I love Halloween. So, yeah.
And for next week, we're switching gears. Still in the spooky season, but we're definitely doing something a lot darker and more sinister. This is an older film. It's been some time. It came out in the early 2000s, I believe. And there's so many hints I could give this film. I'll give a few. And this is a film that Rachel has never seen. I am having her watch this, which I'm super stoked because I'll hold my opinions. But there's puppets in this movie.
I can't believe you're going to make me watch this.
For another hint, it deals with dolls, ventriloquists, things along those lines. And I hate
these things. I don't like these things. I don't like ventriloquist dolls. I can't believe you're going to make me watch this.
It wouldn't be Halloween without having some discomfort, Rachel. Come on.
I already watched the new Hellraiser movie, Nikki. Do you have any idea how uncomfortable I was?
That movie looks...
I won't say too much in case we ever want to review it, but... if you want a scary movie to watch this Halloween, you should definitely check that one out.
I've shied away as I've gotten older from horror movies.
Maybe. I've been watching a bunch of horror movies this season, and there have been some really good ones. If anybody wants a suggestion, both Nope and, like I said, Hellraiser are great ones to be watching this Halloween, because, ooh, they both got me.
Awesome. Well, this is an episode. We have only two more episodes, everyone, and then we have a bonus episode, which we will have our favorite special guest coming on for that episode, as we do every single bonus last episode of the seasons that we do.
Yes, so Clay will be coming back for our final bonus episode for this season, and then we will be closing out, and we'll see you next season then. But
Not right now.
Not yet. But after that episode.
Awesome. Well, everyone, as we always say, till the next review.
Bye. If you like Two Girls, One Review, go subscribe wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts. I put a spell on you, and now you're mine.
I promise I won't quit my day job for